Good morning again to each of you, and just it's been a blessing to be with your congregation this week. One thing I just want to do, and I feel loss of words maybe, but just to bless you for who you are, your vision, your being here. I know it does not come without sacrifice, and you could be serving many other places, but God has called you here, and I bless you. Don't lose sight of the fact that you're making a difference, although you don't always see it. And the work I'm involved in as well, sometimes, you know, we can ask the question, well, is it really making a difference? I don't know if that's really our part to ask or to worry about, but just to let that with God and trust. I know God in various ways, at various times, this little accounts, a little feedback that comes back, he's using us, and we don't always see it, but he gives us little nuggets, and someone said already, we have bigger nuggets, we probably would get proud. And so maybe it's God's way of keeping us humble. Well, you can turn again to 1 Thessalonians. And if you're here for the first, we've been looking, going through this in this book. I'm not saying we're going through the book, but we've been pulling various verses from this book and concepts and principles. So I'd like to begin this morning by telling a story. Remember, again, I don't know how many years ago, I'd have to think how many years ago it was, but this was a number of years ago, pretty sure it was before the hurricane in Grenada. So it happened in Grenada. We were there, I was there for crusade. Rick Rhodes was a pastor up at Laura. John Martin, single man at that time, was school teacher, and I knew both of them. John is a student at school. And so one day, if you were in Grenada, you can picture what this setting might have been like. But we were in the bus there, Olive Branch bus, and Rick was driving. John was sitting in the middle, and I was on the other side. Rick and John began having a discussion, and the discussion revolved around the amount of time they were spending in the Word, and they were reading the Word. And as they continued discussing, I realized that they were spending a significant amount of time in the Word compared to what I was. And as I sat there and listened to that discussion, I thought, boy, I sure hope they don't ask me how much time I'm in the Word. Some of their discussion revolved out of an article that they had recently read, which was titled, Where Does Faith Come From? And it would have been what we know as the charity materials. It came out of one of their written materials. It was written about D.L. Moody, and D.L. Moody was crying out in his life for faith. But Rick and John, as they were, as I said, discussing this, and I don't even remember how much time they said they were in the Word. Just know John was saying, one of them was saying, they were reading through the book of Matthew. They were in Matthew. But as that week ended, and we went home, John copied this article for me and sent it home with me. And yesterday, I dug through some bins and came up with it and found it. This account has challenged me, and this story has challenged me. And basically, you would begin the reading, beginning part. D.L. Moody was crying out in his life for faith. God, give me faith. And one day, in his devotional reading time, he came across the verse, Romans 10:17, that says, so faith cometh by hearing the word of God. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. D.L. Moody, at that point, had a response, and this was his response. Moody said, "I never asked God for faith again, for now God had told me where I can receive it. He said I shut my doors on the busyness of life, all my programs, all my efforts, and I started to do what I had never done. I started to soak myself in the Word of God. I used to read 5 or 6 verses a day, pondering them. But from that moment that I read that verse, I stopped life. I began to read chapters and chapters and chapters and chapters. I began to make it the greatest priority of my life, sometimes spending the whole day in the book where God had said the source of faith was from." Well, I went home from that trip, and it was an impactful. God had did a lot more in our lives. God really worked that week in Crusade, worked in my life personally, took me on a journey from where I had to go down low, and I found myself one night just confessing pride in my life, and just to say God worked that week. But I went home that week from that trip, and I used to have a problem with getting up in the morning. I'd have the alarm clock set as late as I could to get up and have some devotional time, but still get around to school. I wish it was, you know, a happy medium between what it was then and what it is now. But sleeping does not come very regularly for me right now. But anyhow, I set my alarm clock earlier, and I decided, you know what, I'm going to get up earlier. I'm going to set it so many minutes earlier, and I'm not going to say how much I did. But I said I was going to get into the Word of God. And I can testify that that beginning step, I never, ever from that point, struggle with getting up again. I'm not saying, I tell students in class, I'm not saying it's going to work the same way for you. But I know when we intentionally decide to get in this book, it makes a difference. That was the beginning of a discipline that started, and I want to make this clarification up front. Annie told me last night I should be drinking tea, so I am taking your advice. Connie gave me all kinds of potent stuff last night that you'd think I'd be shouting this morning, but I guess it didn't quite work that way. But I will tell you one thing. I didn't actually drink water on top of it. I actually said to Suzette, I drank worse stuff than this already. So anyhow, I developed a discipline in my life, and I want to say to all of you, no matter what stage of life you're in, especially to mothers, okay, I'm going to share some things this morning that may feel like high ideals, and I just want you to know that in your stage of life, it may not always be the easiest, or it may not be even practical to apply it this way, and I think my wife would just readily affirm me in this, that her years of raising children, lack of sleep, babies that did not sleep well, really affected her devotional time. And what I see in her now and her getting into the Word is so different than it was when the children were little. So take that in consideration. I understand that. But I have just been so blessed by spending time in the Word of God, that I would say out of our message we shared last night, we talk about growth. This one principle has changed my life, of committing myself to his word. I often wrestled with making statements about how much time you should spend in the word, and I don't think there's a requirement or a scriptural requirement that says that. And I wrestle with doing that, lest we make a law out of it, and we check off the box and said, I spent a half hour, or I spent this amount of time. I was out with a young man the other week that I kind of got to know through my son, and I asked him a question. I said, what are some of the books you're reading? And he said, I'm reading a book, Lead with Prayer, or Lead by Prayer. And so I purchased that book. I thought, I really respected this young guy. He's probably in his 30s, early 30s, late 20s. Has been given a lot of responsibility at work. His superiors noticed character in him, invested in him. I was just so blessed by speaking with him. And so I learned from him as much as I think he was trying to gain from me. But I said, you know, what's one of the books you're reading? And he said, this book, Lead by Prayer. In that book, it stressed a principle that we need to get into the Word of God if we're going to lead, we're going to give. And it talked about an organization, and as they hired people, and then it listed out something. And so I thought, well, I can quote this book and tell you that the book said it, but I really believe it too. But this organization said to the people they hired, unless you're spending an hour a day in the Word of God, we're not going to hire you. Now again, I'm not saying something to make a law. I'm not saying something that you can check off the box. And I'm not saying it's the same for everyone. I'm just saying we need more than 5 or 10 minutes a day. So I invite you to turn to Thessalonians, if you're there, and look at chapter 2 and verse 13. Verse 13 reads, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received, so this word received, we have noticed other times how the Thessalonians received the word of God. You received it not as the word of men, but, remember contrast, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Effectually could be interpreted effectively. The word of God effectively worketh in us. Go to other places in scripture, we know the word of God's alive and it's real and it, you know, it sorts into the depths of our hearts. But here Paul's saying to the Thessalonians, he's saying, it effectually works. It works in the core of who we are. And so I would like to, as we go through this message this morning, think about three principles, and I'm calling them principles of received word. Okay, so the Thessalonians received the word. What happens for us, or what needs to happen in our lives for us to receive the word? For us to get the word. So, first principle. First principle is we need to be convinced it's the answer to life. So I told you my story about how I set my alarm clock earlier, got up to read the word. And it wasn't just setting the alarm clock earlier. Something happened inside. And there was a spiritual motivation that said, this book has the answers to all of life. It has the answers to all problems. And I knew I had lots of problems. This book That's what I need. And out of that, it gives me a motivation to get into it. If you look at our verse again, it says, you received it, the word of God, which ye heard of us. You received it not as the word of men, but as the truth. I know it's a very basic question, but do we really believe it's truth? Do we really believe that this book has the answer to everything I need, to all I need? I've been, over the years, and I recognize our schedule did change 10 years ago when we moved to Thailand. May have freed up some time in the morning for us to get into the Word more. But I've been just really challenged by my wife and the amount of time she spends in the Word. She prays. So I teach on this topic sometimes in my one class. I often ask Suzette to come in and tell the class about what she calls her rhythms. And that's just a fancy word for her discipline of getting in the Word. But Suzette has a stack of books. I actually don't know what all she does. And it kind of blows my mind because I'm just read the Bible. But, you know, she has different, and they're good. And you can talk to her afterwards and she'll tell you her rhythms. But the interesting thing to me is students will often come back. And I just spent the last 3 weeks teaching a class, and they say, what stood out to us was the 10 minutes Suzette told us about her rhythms. My point is get into the Word and love the Word. For us as a couple, we attempt to protect our time in the Word. I used to have people say, you know, when they didn't get in the Word, they just felt like their day didn't go as well. And I used to not quite get that. I mean, it was just like, no, I didn't. But you know what? The last 10 years of my life, I will do anything almost to make sure, like with all our traveling, all our stuff we're doing, to make sure I start out here. Also say again, you may not pick the morning, and that may not be your time, but that's where I have chosen to start my day. So the first point is convinced that is the answer to life. Second point is it effectually worketh? That word effectual is like an electrical current energizing a wire, bringing it to a shining light bulb. And so I see it as a channel. It's our channel to God. The connection of us as mortal beings with the immortal. This book is what connects us to God. I can't stand here tonight, or this morning, tell you that when you eat food, how that converts to energy. I mean, some of you could. Yeah. Maybe some of you more medical nature people could say, this is all the process. When I ate my pizza last night, that kind of gave me how it turned into energy for me to preach today. I wish it had turned into voice quality, but it, I guess that wasn't in the pizza. But it gave us energy. I can't explain that. Because I can't explain it, does that mean I stop eating? Of course not. We get hungry and we eat. I can't explain to you how this book changes my heart. I can't explain the mornings I get up and maybe feel troubled in mind. And I get into this Word and it refreshes my mind. and calling us, as Peter says, to desire the sincere milk of the word, for to desire it as babies desire being fed. Right now, as I talked about, we have two young granddaughters who probably all they desire, and maybe they don't even realize they desire it, is they need to be fed. You need to choose to get into this book, even if you don't know why. Because the answer, the why, is it changes our life. It brings growth. The Word of God works. I have a friend in Thailand. He actually is from China. They moved there about 2018, somewhere in there. They ended up coming to our church for a little bit. I learned to know him. We became friends and started to go out for coffee and talk. And he was not a believer. Came from actually not even knowing much about God. Don't know that he'd say he was an atheist, but his father was killed suddenly about 10 years ago from when we first started meeting. And he said at that point, as I looked at that dead corpse, I said to myself, there has to be something else. There has to be an afterlife. But we would sit and he'd ask questions. I mean, lots of questions and intellectual questions and questions about life and the word and Christianity. And I mean, and we kind of go back and forth. Finally, I decided, you know what? Went home one summer, one year, whenever it was, and came back to him and I said, we're just going around a lot of stuff. Would you be interested in studying this book? He said, sure. And so we started with the book of John. We've been doing this, I don't know how many years now, and we're only over there half time, so while we're there is when we do it. But we've gone through chapter, through chapter, through chapter. And there's times that I wish that I would see more fruit in Ethan's life. But you know what I tell myself? We can't go wrong. We can't go wrong. We're studying the Word. I watched him come to a place where he actually says to me, I was an unbeliever even in God. And he refers to this book as truth. Like I said, I wish there was maybe a little bit more fruit in just their involvement with the church. But I've asked him, and the one summer I went home, and I just, there was this burden on my heart, and I said, I want to go home knowing that I believe that Ethan's okay, that he's right with the Lord. And I've asked him honest questions outright. And I have to conclude that he has made on his journey a commitment to God. I just long to see that continue to grow. But the Word changes our lives. And Ethan will read. We got together. Sometimes I tell myself, is he just doing this so he can improve his English? But he reads the chapter. We discuss it. We've cried together. We pray together. It's God that needs to bring the increase. But it's the Word that we're focusing on. Thirdly, then, I believe we need to develop a discipline. If you notice, the last word in verse 13 is the word believe. We need to believe. And in our belief, we need to make a practice. So there's three points that I suggest as we make a practice of the Word of God in our lives. And it's one. So maybe if you're struggling to develop a practice, here's a way to start. Just develop a regular place, a regular time, and a regular plan. Three things. I will meet God at this time every day. Now, not that our times can't vary and, you know, not that our times aren't going to shift. But if we're struggling with a pattern, discipline yourself to say regular place, regular time, regular plan. Talking about regular place, I don't know where you have your devotional time. You know, my friend Tim Stolzfus in Thailand, he loves to go to nature. And it's in nature that he meets God. I love nature, but not like Tim does. And I don't need to go to nature to meet God, but I go to my back porch. We have enclosed back porch. Again, picture a little house, but we do have enclosed back porch. Whether it's whatever degree in the winter or hot in the summer, that's where I go. The winter, I have a little heater that sits there beside me and it blows on me and I have a blanket and sometimes I do get too cold and I'll go in, but I love to meet God at my place of solitude. I hope you have a place where you can meet God. And I get up. Says, that's not up yet. It's mostly dark on most days. And there just to go and be with God. And eventually we live in a kind of a development and there's a field across the road from pretty near our house. And we have all kinds of critters come through our backyard. I mean, I've watched the deer come through, eat my flowers. Right now there's a fox running around there and yeah, the other morning I was sitting there and all of a sudden the cat starts growling right outside the window. And I don't know who was after it, but I do know the fox. Another morning I looked out the window and something was going on and all of a sudden I saw a cat bound up through my yard and next thing I knew the fox was right on his tail. But you know what? That's my time. The time to meet God. A regular place. Regular time is we decide where and when that will develop a pattern that I'm going to meet with God. Robert Miller in Spiritual Survival Handbook. Well, I'm just going to have one of you read this. Says this. He says, I must spend time with him, not just 5 or 10 minutes. I must linger with him. I need the living water. I need to know him and to be known by him. When we forgo our time with the Lord, we are choosing to take our eyes off the river of life and go our own way. No Christian can afford to lose this early morning battle. No missionary can lose sight of these early morning decisions. Friends, I'm encouraging us, and I don't know where you're at. Maybe you're spending more than an hour with God, but I encourage you to learn to love this book. This may sound weird. I tell the students this in school, but over that period of time where I set my alarm clock earlier, I eventually came to the place that I would get excited about going to bed simply so I could get up and have my devotional time. That may sound strange, but I just tell you, it's possible. This book can bring excitement. I love to get up in the morning. I don't know if it's because I hate to sleep, but one of the reasons is this book and coffee make a good combination. Regular time and a regular plan. Place, time, and plan. One of the things I encourage you to do with the Word of God is to read it and to reread it and to reread it. Now, D.L. Moody said, I used to read 5 or 6 verses a day and meditate on them. He once said, I read and read and read. I've done some of that, but I just love to read the Word of God slowly. I don't focus on how much of the book I read, but just to read and then to reread the phrase and then to reread it again. But we need to learn to concentrate. Be on guard of the tendency to read thoughtlessly or without concentration. You know, it's possible to looking at the Word of God with our eyes and like a water skier, skim over the surface and never get much out of it. I'm guessing I'm not this strange, but most of you identify that there's times we read the Word and before we know it, we're thinking about our activities for the day. We're thinking about, you know, whatever else it may be. And our mind is, we're reading, but our mind's over here. And I made myself a discipline, and I think I pretty much do this, that I take note of the verse I was reading where I was still concentrating. And when I catch my mind wandering, I'll go back to the verse where I left off. It's been good discipline. Don't let yourself let your mind wander and say, well, just missed those 5 verses. I'll pick up here. Go back and reread. What are some things we can do in our Bible daily plans? I'm just going to give you some practical things. One, I don't know how many of you have ever read the Bible through, but I encourage you to do that. If you're here and you've never read the entire Bible, and I'm guessing most of us have, but make that part of your discipline. Merle Flory, who worked with MTM and went and had teaching conferences in Asian countries with pastors and church people, says, I went in one time and he says, I was really challenging them to read the entire book. So he said, I was so bold, I asked them to raise their hands. You know, how many of you have read the Bible through? And he said, there weren't many hands went up. So he said, I took the liberty to, you know, just really encourage them, get into the book. He said, after I was finished with that session, a man came up to me and says, Brother Merle, he says, it's not that we don't want to read the Word. We're not reading the Word because we don't have it. Or we don't have the entire Word. And Merle said, I was so smote in my heart. Here I was encouraging them, read the Word, but they don't have it. I'm guessing we have multiple copies in our homes. And read it. It's estimated it takes the average reader 77 hours to read from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. So, a plan, reading 3 chapters each day and 5 on Sunday will get you through the book in a year. Again, some people, my wife is one, likes to read the Bible through in a year. I'm starting to read it in different translations throughout the year. I like to read it through, but don't worry about the year part. When I get through, I get through. I just do different things at different times, but read the Bible through. You can also get Bible schedules to read certain parts in the Old Testament, certain parts in the New Testament. You can do it with a schedule. Now, the practice is to read a book in one sitting, so it's easy to get to look for the big picture. So as we read from chapters, we're getting small pictures, but read with that overview look. Read the book of Matthew with an overview look, or the book of Genesis. You think, wow, that sounds pretty long. That's 50-some chapters. But it gives us a big picture. One of the things you can do is read a chapter of Proverbs for each day of the month. Or read through the Psalms in 1 month, and you read every 30 chapters. And so how that works, today is the 29th, and so you would read Psalms 29, Psalms 59, 89, 119, and 149. And that would get you through the book of Psalms in a month. Read a chronological Bible. I did that 1 year. And again, it just gives you new insights into the entirety of Scripture. Maybe you read a parallel Bible. I know there's a lot of talk about translations, and I'm not entering that discussion. But reading another translation will give you other insights. So I close here with the effectual word. I said as a pastor, I remember a number of years ago, I said as a pastor, I'm never afraid of a lack of spiritual growth in my congregation when I'm convinced that my people are in the Word. You got that? I'm not concerned where my congregation's going to go if I know that they're daily in the Word. Teaching high school, I often, junior year, I ask the students to share their testimony. And I have 5 parts of their testimony they were to share. One of them was a struggle. So the first year I did this assignment, they shared their testimonies. I noticed that a lot of people were saying for their struggle in their life, they struggled to have their devotions. And I thought, oh no, it's probably an easy struggle to have. It's not too personal. So I started after that saying, you need to pick another struggle. I remember 1 year, a student shared his testimony, and he said, I know Mr. Weber told us not to say that, you know, having your devotions is your struggle. They said, that's my struggle. And so we asked the question, why do people struggle to get into the Word? I don't remember where I got this from, but it says, here that is the real problem of our negligence. We fail in our duty to study God's Word, not so much because it's difficult to understand, not so much because it is dull or boring, but because it is work. Our problem is not a lack of intelligence or a lack of passion. The problem is we're lazy. If you're going to be a person whose life has overflow, I just saw Greg Rochelle illustrate this. This came across this on YouTube. He was dipping a cup of water into a bowl of water. And he said, if you're going to be able to pour out, you're first going to have to dip in and fill up. I just encourage you, you're going to be a congregation that serves and outpours, you're going to need to fill up. Now, I knew what I was going to preach about this morning, and I looked, after I really decided what I was preaching on, I looked at the Sunday school lesson. And I saw it's on this topic. And I thought, oh, well, I guess I'll do a follow-up. And, you know, I assumed you were having Sunday school first. Well, Matt pulled a fast one on me. Actually, I don't care because I just did this the other week in Indiana, and they were saying to me, you know, it's really nice to preach because then you can sit and enjoy Sunday school class. Well, yeah, that's how I feel. So I'm sorry whoever's teaching. You're going to need to pick up on the same topic. But I just bless you, encourage you as you get into the Word. And this time I'll turn it back to whoever I should.